Welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. My show this morning is going to be a little different than normal. In fact, I'm going to try to just get into the show. My name is Bob Scrivano. I'll get to all the disclaimers and all that other stuff later. But this is a subject I really want to talk about. I want to talk about it as much or more than anything I've ever talked about on this radio show before. It's going to be different. It's going to be very important. It's going to be timely, and I hope you will listen. It's something that I've been personally involved in so many ways with family and clients for 30 years. I do want to say up front, I'm not a psychologist, I'm not a psychiatrist, I'm not a doctor. These are my observations. I think they're valid. I think they're accurate, but they're my observations. Recently in the news, and then we'll get to the other stuff, but I want to talk about this for I don't know how long. And I hope you will really listen, because I will tell you right now what I'm about to talk about impacts every bloody family, as the Brits would say, in America. And I want to talk about Kate Spade. I don't know Kate Spade. Never met Kate Spade. Kate Spade's name was used in my house a lot because my wife is a clothing designer. Has been for her most of her adult life. She does gorgeous, beautiful work. So you can imagine kind of growing up with my wife, who was in the fashion industry, who designed a lot of really good stuff, did a lot of shows, has written two books. Fashion was talked about. I knew who the fashion icons were. I knew about all kinds of things. Probably a lot of things guys shouldn't know about. I know what cutting on the bias means. I know these things. I know how a dress is supposed to fit. I know. So Kate Spade's name was very familiar to me. And as many of you know, Kate Spade, who owned a very large empire chain of stores, especially dealing with purses, and to a lesser degree shoes, recently killed herself. And all over the blogosphere, the newspapers, the news was she killed herself and nobody knows why. Nobody knows what happened. And I told people at the time that I will guarantee you she was depressed and that this did not come as a shock to anybody. I want to talk about mental illness a little bit, because in my work, I meet people who are mentally ill every day. Not sometimes, every day. I probably see as many mentally ill people in a week as most psychologists see in a week. I see families. I see anxiety. I see depression. I see bipolar disorder. I see Lewy body disease. I see Alzheimer's. I see all kinds of things. And I know that your family, someone in your family, is suffering from depression. And I want to talk about it a little bit because I think it needs to be taken out in the open. We will not accept diseases of the brain as real diseases. If you have heart disease, everybody goes, "Oh, Ralph, how are you doing? You know, I hear you have heart disease. Oh, that's got to be so hard." Or somebody that's just had a stroke, "How's Phil doing? He's had a stroke, cancer. Oh, Mildred, how's Mildred doing? I understand that she had breast cancer and that, oh man, how did it go?" And everybody's concerned. If somebody says, "Dad's nuts," or "Kate has a mental disease, a disease of the brain," we run screaming from that. We don't want to know anything about it. Oh, we don't want to get involved. I know that's a family affair. Deal with that with your family. Having some coffee here while I'm waking up. It's not right, but it's what happens. We don't talk about it. I'm going to talk about it. Kate Spade did not die in a vacuum. I will guarantee you it's already started to come out that her family knew about it. She was had gone through treatments for what appears to be bipolar disorder, sometimes called obsessive-compulsive disorder, sometimes called, you know, all kinds of things. It's bipolar disorder. It means you go from depression to elation to depression, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Her family knew. Most people who are bipolar have thought about suicide at least 10 times. Most people who have gone through serious bouts of depression have thought about suicide 10 times. Families usually know about this, but families suffer in silence. We don't talk about this. We can talk about mom has heart disease. We can talk about, you know, Joe's got Parkinson's, or, you know, Phyllis has MS, or, you know, Johnny's got diabetes, or whatever, but we never say, we don't talk about it in polite conversation, that, you know, Fred is not doing well, he makes weird decisions, he can't seem to get his mental act together. We just don't talk about it, and that makes me incredibly sad. Because I see the way the failure to talk about mental illness impacts families, and not in a good way. I talk about, and I've talked about it on this show before, that when and I talk about it with families all the time, that one of the things, when dad has dementia or mom has dementia, you know, and the family is trying to make really, really hard decisions, I talk all the time about the 900-pound gorilla that's in the room. And the 900-pound gorilla is guilt. And I talk to them about realizing and being aware. I talked to a son about this the other day. I talked to two daughters about this the other day. They didn't get it, but I talked about it because the mom is in the early stages of dementia, by the way, which is a mental disease. It's a disease of the brain. And often a lot of that guilt is powered by embarrassment. Oh my gosh, mom does weird things. Oh my gosh, dad says weird things. Oh my gosh, you can't believe what dad did the other day. Oh my lands, you know, some gypsies walked up to the front door and bilked dad out of $10,000. We're so sad about that. We're guilty about that. And a lot of that comes, I would say most of that comes, from families not being able to call what it is, which is a mental illness. So we feel guilty that we have to deal with mom, who, when we look at mom, looks like the old mom. Except sometimes mom takes all her clothes off in public. Dad looks like the old dad, except sometimes he goes to the bathroom in the hallway because he can't remember where the bathroom is. Or he says weird things. And so a lot of the guilt that surrounds this is driven by shame, because mom or dad is weird. Mental illness is a growing tragedy in this country. And one of the reasons that it is because we won't talk about it. We won't accept the possibility. Folks, Asperger's is a mental disease. Schizophrenia is a mental disease. Bipolar disorder is a mental disease. Vascular dementia is a mental disease. Alzheimer's is a mental disease. Anxiety, severe, I'm talking about panic attack anxiety, is a mental disease. I can go, I don't know how many diseases there are listed in the PDR as mental diseases, but there's a lot of them. Agoraphobia, you know, fear of cats, fear of dogs. I learned a new word the other day, I can't remember, called fear of snakes. You know, a good friend of mine who was a psychologist years and years and years ago said something to me 30 years ago that made more sense than anything else I've ever heard in my life about mental disease. And it was, it doesn't matter why you're afraid of snakes. You just need to know you're afraid of snakes. And I thought that made more sense to me. If you think about that for a little while, it'll fall in. Kate Spade did not die in a vacuum. The people around her are all shocked. They didn't know. Of course they didn't know, because nobody in the family told them. We don't talk about it. We don't tell the neighbors, oh, by the way, Dad's nuts. Oh, by the way, you're not going to believe what Mom did the other day. Brothers and sisters don't even talk about it amongst each other. And if Dad's married, Mom never tells the children about what Dad's doing. In fact, when the children come over, Dad's what? Dad's on his best behavior. I don't know what the end of the story here is going to be. I don't even have a particular point I'm trying to make. I guess what I'm trying to say is when I heard about Kate Spade, I was immensely sad, because I knew what had happened. The minute they said that she had committed suicide and hung herself, I knew what happened. Not because I'm a clairvoyant or so smart, because I have seen this hundreds, if not thousands of times in my 30 years. And I knew that it didn't happen in a vacuum, and everybody was said they were shocked. And I said at the time to a couple people who asked me about it, I said, they're going to find out that lots of people knew and that they were trying to help. Lots of people knew. We accept other things. We have a group for alcoholics called AA. I have a good friend who is a recovering alcoholic, one of my closest friends on the planet, one of the most honest human beings I know, and probably the single best elder law attorney in California. No, he doesn't live in this area. And he says, you know, people who are drunks are lucky. They have a group to go to. People that have a mental disease don't have a group. And the sad thing is that a lot of the techniques that would work for people who are alcoholics would work for people who are depressed and who suffer from some mental diseases, but we don't have such a group. It's important for you to look around in your family. I cannot tell you how important this is. Please, I'm begging you, admit what's going on in your family, whether it's Alzheimer's, whether it's bipolar disorder, whether it's anxiety disorder, whether it's a phobia, whether it's, I don't know what it is. But you need to come to that person. In the Bible, the Greek word for Holy Spirit is paraclete in Greek. And I always love that word, because paraclete, in its closest translation, literally means one who comes and walks beside. If you're dealing with somebody that you love who you know is suffering from mental illness, you need to be a paraclete. You need to walk beside them, put your arm around them and say, you know, I know this is a struggle for you, But you can do this. You can do this, and together we can help. And I want you to know that you're not alone in your struggle. I know the struggle goes on in your mind, and I don't always know what goes on in your mind, but I'm here to share the struggle with you because I want you with me for a very long time. There are lots of groups or organizations that deal with this, and I don't have any arguments or objections with them. They talk about it clinically. In my life, being around as long as I have been, and I've been around a long time and seen a lot of stuff, I think the thing that works the best is for people to have people around them who will say, I understand. I want you to know I don't always approve of your behavior, and you have to give me the right to talk about that so that we can try to modify behaviors when we can. But I also understand that you don't like those behaviors sometimes and are embarrassed by them, but together we can work together to make your life better. Lots of people have ideations. Ideations are, you know, you've thought about killing yourself. Lots of people have ideations. Not everybody acts on those ideations. I'm here to tell you, Kate Spade did not have it happen in a vacuum. I'm here to tell you that if I wanted to, I could go Google how many people killed themselves in America today, and it would be a lot. And most of them as a result of severe depression. I hope you will listen with a spirit of warmness of what I'm talking about today. I'm not trying to bring you in, make you a bummer, make it a bummer day. I'm trying to tell you that I just grew a little frustrated the other day with listening to people say, "Josh, she had everything. Gosh, she had money. Gosh, she had a loving husband. Gosh, she had a nice child." What I want you to take out of that is how broken do you have to be inside to have a lot of money, have a lot of friends, have a loving husband, have a great daughter, and yet still kill yourself. And to think it out that the pain is so bad that the pain outweighs all the wonderful things in your... Why did that person kill themselves? They had so many good things in their life. Ponder on that sentence for a while. Seriously. Ponder on that sentence for a while. What kinds of heartbreak, what kinds of darkness existed in that person's life that you didn't know anything about? To cause them to kill themselves while overriding all the good things that were going on in their life. One of the things that causes people to commit, I'm not a doctor, to commit suicide even when they have good things is they don't see them as good things. They don't see all that. I'll guarantee you, I don't know Kate Spade, but I'll guarantee you she did not, the things that were good in her life did not outweigh, in her mind, the things that were bad and hopeless about her life. I don't know if you've ever been around someone who's hopeless. It's sad. It's sadder than someone with cancer or heart disease or whatever. But to be around someone who's hopeless, who just sees no hope in their life, is a scary, sobering thing. I hope that today you will be moved. If I have any success ever with this show, I hope it's with this half hour. I hope today you will be moved to talk to that person that in your life that you think is really suffering from this, to those people who are suffering from someone, families who are in depression because of what's happening to mom or to dad or to whatever. I wish I could tell you all the things I've seen in families that just suck families down into an abyss because of the depression that people are feeling over a mom or a dad or a brother or a sister who is just doesn't function well. And the family, rather than confronting it openly and acknowledging it, kind of gets sucked into that vortex of sadness and hopelessness. And I can tell you right now that a lot of families listening to me today are suffering from this. I can think of 20 off the top of my head that I'm currently working with that are suffering from this. Depression never, well, I shouldn't say this. Depression almost always happens in isolation. It's much harder for depression to happen if you're surrounded by people who are supporting that fact and saying, we understand, we want to get you the help that you need. It makes me cry literally every day when I drive down the street and I see homeless people that I know are severely mentally ill. I don't care what anybody says, we are not doing them a favor. We are not helping their lives by failing to acknowledge that they are mentally ill, that they are troubled human beings. Yeah, I know everybody has the right to their own freedom and all that. I'm telling you, as a society, we do not help. And when we look away from that, it makes it easier for us to look away from that when it happens in our own family. We become somewhat scabbed over to mental illness and to depression and to bipolar disorder and to schizophrenia and to anxiety issues and all of that kind of stuff. I appreciate you tolerating my little side event here for the last half hour. I just, after the events of the week with Kate Spade, I just felt moved to talk about this. It's a world in which I've lived for 30 years dealing with people who are mentally ill. I hope you will develop more sensitivity to it. I hope you will recognize it more in your own life if you're going through it with someone who is having problems. How many of you are kind of repulsed by dad or by mom by some of their behaviors? Do you recognize it as mental illness and something that they can't control? Or do you just see as a behavior that's bad? I hope more and more and more of you will begin to see mental illness for what it is, an illness, a biological illness. It's not something that people can just put a Band-Aid on and it heals. It's deep, it's scarring. Most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, it's forever. Most of the time it's incurable. It can be you can get boundaries around it, but it's incurable. I hope you will look for it more. I hope you will acknowledge it more in your own life, in your own family's life. Maybe learn a little patience. I can tell you, I confess to you that sometimes I'm not patient with some of the people I'm around. Usually the people I'm not patient with are their families. So I want to thank you for listening to this. Afterwards, we're going to come back and we're actually going to talk about dementia a little bit. But thank you for letting me talk about this. It's important. If I can ever be of help, please call me, 800-999-8007. I know I haven't given out a lot of the information. Remember, I'm not an attorney and all that stuff. I'll give that out again in the second half hour. But I really wanted to spend time talking about this. And I wanted to talk about it from my heart, not as a doctor, not as a clinician, because I'm not, but as a human being who sees this stuff all the time. Kate Spade did not die in a vacuum. People knew about it. Mental illness is identifiable. If we're looking for it and we're willing to talk about it, it's identifiable. You have to be willing to confront it. It's uncomfortable to confront. Sometimes it's just weird. But who in your family can you help by being the one person to open up, become a paraclete, walk up beside them and say, how can I help? How can I make your life better? How can I understand better what you feel? We're going to take a little break. Again, thank you for letting me do this. I hope it wasn't too boring. 800-999-8007. If you want to get a hold of me, I'll give you more of my contact information in the second half hour. We're going to talk about some other things in the second half hour. Thank you so much for being here. We're going to take a little break. I'll be back in a couple seconds right here on Assets and Aging. Welcome back to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. So glad to have you with us. Remember, couldn't do this in the first half hour because I just felt like I needed to talk for a little bit. Remember, I'm not an attorney. I don't practice law. I don't give legal advice. If you want legal advice, you should consult an attorney, preferably one that knows what the hell they're talking about. I have a California insurance license, a legal document assistant license recorded in Sacramento County, which allows me to prepare legal documents at your direction and request. I'm not securities licensed, don't want to be, and everything we talk about here is my opinion only. And should never be taken as any form of legal, tax, or financial advice. Okay. By the way, people we like, I recently had, because I was the trustee of a trust, I had recently had reason to use a title company. The title company we used was Chicago Title on Sunrise Avenue. God, what a great bunch of people. I don't plug people often, but man, Chicago Title on Sunrise Avenue, just down by Sunrise Mall, fabulous. Go visit them. Go let them help you. And we even had a problem along the way, and they solved that like it wasn't there. So sometimes I just like talking to people we like. I just think it's a good thing. I have a little radio show, and I can tell people about people that I like. And that's one of them. Elder law attorney Dustin McFarland. Actually the most competent elder law attorney in town, I think. Personal opinion. Found a great new Mexican restaurant the other day in a place called Milagro Marketplace over off of Fair Oaks Boulevard by El Camino. Fabulous. Tell them you heard it here. I went somewhere else this week that I went, wow, these people were so good and helpful, and now I can't remember who it was. But I like to tell people, the people that have come into my life that have been helpful to me. And, I know, Fred Hyman's a stockbroker. Fred helps out so many of my clients. I don't get a kickback because I'm not securities licensed. But when my clients are having problems with stuff, Fred is just always the best. I mean, always the best. And so if you want more information on any of these people, let me know and I'll get it to you. There's probably somebody else I'll think about. And I try to, every now and then I try to have my favorite people stuff. Okay, let's see. Upcoming workshops. I do have upcoming workshops. If you have more interest, call. If you're not on my email newsletter, that's how you'll find out about them, because they're all going to be in my office from now on. I don't think I'm going to do any big more public workshops. These are going to be intimate, limited to 12 to 15 people. I did two yesterday. They were full. We had a great time, and we made people work. One of the questions I asked them, and I'll ask you the same question. And do this quickly in your head, because I'm not going to wait very long. And you do this in your head. And if you don't have the answer in 5 seconds, you're in deep trouble. You're in deep trouble. What are the three things that you have done? What are the three specific things that you have done to make sure that if you ever needed long-term care, it's taken care of? Name three things that you've done right now. Bang, bang, bang. What are the three things you've done? Come on, you should have them right off the top of your head. What do you mean you don't have them off the top of your head? Well, Bob, I got to think about that. No, you're getting older. Your mom and dad are getting older. You don't have time to think. Your dad just had a stroke. What are you going to do? Who's going to do it? Who's in charge? Who can do whatever? Who in your family is going to steal dad's money or mom's money? What if you have a split family where you got his kids and her kids, his assets and her assets? Who's in charge? You have to be able to know the three things that you're going to do immediately when dad goes bonkers. So what are the three things? I don't have them. Then you have a serious problem. That's why people come to my workshops, because by the time we're done, they have the answer to the three things. There's more than three, but if you can't come up with the top three off the top of your head, you're dancing through the graveyard. You have to know what you're going to do. Parents, what are the three things your children have to do that they know they have to do? If you have a stroke tomorrow? Well, they got to call their brothers and sisters. No, that's not a thing. Well, they got to get me to the hospital. They won't be there to take you to the hospital. What are the three things they have to know? What are the three things that they have to do? Do they know how to do them? Do they know where they are? And that's what we do at workshops. If you're not on my email newsletter list, you can email me. You can scroll down my webpage. My webpage is Bob. I'm sorry. My webpage is assetsandaging.com. ASSETS, assetsandaging.com. You can scroll down. You can sign up for workshops. You can sign up for my podcasts. Every Wednesday, I do a live podcast. My podcast last week was on a Medi-Cal form. Not making it up. It was on a Medi-Cal form, DHCS 7077, one of the most important forms on the planet. My radio shows are archived. My workshops, you can sign up for an appointment. You can call me. My phone number's there, 800-999-8007. If you can't name the three things today you would do if somebody went bonkers, then you have a problem. Your family has a problem. And families won't face this because of the guilt involved. And so I sit at the table with families that can't make a decision. I sat at the table with a family the other day where mom clearly has dementia and the children sitting there weren't aware of it. They kind of were, but they didn't want to talk about it. Mom clearly has dementia. The kids really didn't want to talk about it. They're at polar opposites trying to figure it out. You got several children in the family pulling in different directions, which is a recipe for disaster. Somebody has to be the decision maker. Somebody has to be the responsible adult. Somebody has to get over the fear and guilt of what's going on and acknowledge that mom has a mental disease and it's not going to get better. Sometimes I just want to scream at children, grow up and take on the responsibility, but I can't do that. Well, I've done that sometimes. I want to talk a little bit about dementia today. Again, 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. How many of you know somebody with dementia? There are 8 different kinds, 6 different kinds, 10 different kinds, depending on what list you look at. Alzheimer's is just the largest group of people with dementia. There's also dementia caused by chemotherapy. Did you know that? There's dementia caused by high blood pressure, vascular dementia, blockage in the arteries. There's dementia caused by certain drugs. Did you know that people who take statins are at a higher risk of dementia? Did you know that? Did you know that people who take Ambien for a long period of time are at higher risk of dementia. Did you know there is no drug, not over the counter, that cures dementia? I don't care what animal it came from. When you hear the word dementia, what do you think? I hope I never get that. I don't ever want that. I don't want that. Okay. So you now said you don't want it. I don't want to die of cancer. I don't have a choice in that. I could die of cancer. I'm not dying of cancer. But we're all going to die of something. Let's face it, folks. You are going to die. And there's a very good chance that before you die, you will be frail. You will be incapacitated. You probably will be incompetent at some point. That's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. And yet children are simply, in many cases, incompetent to come to that conclusion. Children, you have to step up and become the responsible adult. Well, my dad, somebody called me the other day from out of state. They want to move their parents here. One parent was in a nursing home. She's now in rehab because she fell in a nursing home. Dad is frail, wants to move them out here, wants to put them both in a room together. And I'm going, your mother was in a nursing home. She doesn't know what planet she lives in. How are you going to get them here? Well, we're going to transport them separately. And where are you going to put them? Well, we're going to put them in assisted living together. Assisted living isn't going to take your mother. Well, but that's what they want. I talked to my father, and that my father wants them to be together. And I'm thinking to myself, boy, talk about somebody who is just completely consumed by guilt. It's the child. Because the child won't become the responsible adult. The child is still listening to the father who is not capable of making these kinds of decisions. So who's the responsible adult? Which child in your family cannot be the responsible adult? They just can't do it because of guilt or power. Remember, lots of people use this stuff, folks, to have power over the other children. So what do you think about when you hear the word dementia? Who do you think about? Who do you know that has dementia? Who do you think about? Okay, so who is it in your family? You can call it Alzheimer's. You can call it whatever you want to call it. You can call it all dad's a little forgetful. It's still dementia. And here's the good news. It's not getting better. What is a person with dementia like? Well, Bob, they do strange things. I know. They do. People with dementia do strange things. One of the first people I ever met when I started doing this came out of the bathroom stark naked because he couldn't remember. He'd gone to the bathroom and he couldn't remember to put his clothes back on. And then he hadn't quite finished, so he was in the hallway of his house and I was talking to his wife and he finished urinating in the hallway of his house. What's a person with dementia like? Do they do strange things and yet we try to talk to them as if they understand? Dad, don't do that again. If Dad could not do that again, he wouldn't have done it in the first place. Who's the responsible adult? What do they do? What kinds of things do people with dementia do? Boy, that list is long. So in your own life, the person with dementia, I've got a person right now who has dementia who likes to smear feces on the wall. I'm not trying to make you uncomfortable. I'm trying to tell you what this is really like. It's what it's really like. I have people with dementia right now that are in a wheelchair all the time. They're permanently in a wheelchair. And yet everybody thinks they can take care of themselves. How do they act? How do you talk to them? When you try talking to someone with dementia, how do you talk? Well, Dad, please don't do that. Dad, you have to be reasonable. Dad, that's not good. Dad, don't do that. What, you know, what do you tell them? How do you speak to them? Do you understand what it is you're doing? Have you read any books on dementia? Do you have any information on how to deal with someone with dementia? Or do we operate out of frustration, guilt, and fear? List three things they do that you cannot explain. So that person with dementia, list three things they do, and you just can't explain why they do that. I don't know why they do that. Do they have sundowners? Do you even know what sundowners is? I'll guarantee you, if somebody with dementia has sundowners, they do lots of things you can't explain. Name three things that that person with dementia does that you can't explain. How, this is an important one, how did they get that way? Was it something they ate? Was it because they were in the sun too long? Was it because of fish they had? Bad fish? How did they become that way? What kind of dementia in it? What was its pathology? What can you do about it medically? Is there anything you can do about it medically? How did they get that way? Some people who have Parkinson's never have dementia. Other people who have Parkinson's do have dementia. Some people with Parkinson's hallucinate. Other people with Parkinson's don't. How did they get that way? How long have they been like this? That's an important one, because everybody I've ever talked to, when I talk to their family and they say, well, Dad's got dementia, they always preface it with the word little. Well, Dad just has a little dementia. Right now, he just has a little dementia. Mom just has a little dementia. She just has a little problem finding some words. A little dementia is like a little pregnant. In the early days, when you're 3 months pregnant, you're a little pregnant. It doesn't show much. When you're 8 months pregnant, everybody knows you're pregnant. And that person in early dementia with a little dementia is someday gonna show. And what are the three things you're doing to mitigate that? What are the things that you're going to do to take care of that? I can't answer that for your family. I know in my own family what we did, but my family is not your family. How long will they be like this? 6 months, 8 months, 10 years? The average time between onset of Alzheimer's, the average time between diagnosis of Alzheimer's, that doesn't mean they didn't already have it for 2 years. Between diagnosis of Alzheimer's and death is 8 years. Diagnosis and death is 8 years for someone with Alzheimer's. Now, if you've ever been around someone with Alzheimer's, in the beginning, it's fairly manageable. At the end, it's not manageable at all. You're going to be with that person for 8 years. If that person has a spouse, you are going to expose the spouse to 8 years of irrational behavior. Someone with Alzheimer's does not act rationally, folks. If you're going to have one of the children go take care of mom who has Alzheimer's, she is about to walk into a hornet's nest. There's a tsunami coming that she can't even comprehend. How many of you get silver alerts on your phone? Hi, this is the sheriff's department. We're calling about a 73-year-old female wearing shorts and a blouse who wandered away from her home, and it... I'll guarantee you, that's a family struggling to try to figure out what to do with mom or dad, and they just haven't confronted it yet. How do they get the right care? Do they get the right care? Is the person or place taking care of them equipped to take care of their thought patterns, their behavior patterns, their quirkiness, their the things they're going to do that you can't believe they're going to do. Do they have the right care? What about the money? Where's the money going to come from for that care? I was with somebody the other day that they've got some money, and they said, well, there was enough money. And I said, well, you got enough money for 3 years. Well, we got a lot of money. I said, you got enough money for 3 years. At the end of 3 years, it's gone. And oh, by the way, the family will get nothing. And Dad really wanted to leave some money to the family. If you change this around a little bit, we could make the money last 8 or 10 years and protect it. Well, I don't know. You know, you got enough money for 3 years. Good grief. That's guilt talking. What about the money? Where's the money going to come from? The average home care, everybody says they want to stay home. Home care costs $12,000 to $14,000 a month. $12,000 to $14,000 a month. We're going to pay somebody under the table, Bob. That's a lawsuit waiting to happen. We're going to pay our granddaughter nothing. That's a lawsuit waiting to happen. And is probably going to cost the granddaughter a lot in back taxes because nobody gave them a 1099. Memory care is $6,000 to $7,000 a month. A nursing home is $9,000 to $10,000 a month. Where's the money going to come from? All things people have refused to confront because we start out with, well, it's just, Mom just forgets some words once in a while. She's got a little problem with, you know, she doesn't remember who the president is. It's going to go bad. And it's going to go bad in a hurry, and you won't be prepared for it. Have their friends or family stopped coming? Do people stop coming to see old Fred? Why? Because Fred's a little weird. Fred doesn't remember his friends anymore, and sometimes he's quite hostile to them and says really inappropriate things. So his friends have stopped coming. Family have stopped coming. Have you stopped coming? Do you go see your mom who has dementia as much as you used to? Or does it make you uncomfortable? Do you bring the grandkids when you go? Come on, folks, let's start talking about this in honest ways. Instead of beating around the bush and pretending that this isn't happening. Now, put all of the above in the first person. What happens when it happens to you? How are all the people around you going to react? And what things have you done so that your children or grandchildren or whoever can take care of you and make all the 10,000 decisions that are going to have to be made? Instead of being terrified about this, pretending it's not going to happen, putting our heads in the sand, and letting it all go to you know where. I talked about Kate Spade in the first half hour. This is the same thing. We don't want to talk about it. We want to remember Mom when she was effervescent and beautiful and perfect and made birthday cakes for us. But that mom doesn't exist anymore. That mom now is driven by all kinds of demons and thoughts and incoherency and a disease. When do you face up to that and begin to deal with it instead of become the responsible adult instead of putting it on the back burner and saying, gee, I hope it all works out with Mom because I can't take this anymore? 800-999-8007. I have answers. There's help available. There's money available. There are benefits available. There are plans available. 800-999-8007. Get off the couch. Quit watching TV for 15 minutes and call. Then spend an hour in my office and let's figure out together how we make this better in your family and in your life. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007, or go to my website. You can email me, assetsandaging.com. You can continue to live in oblivion. You can continue to live in denial. You can continue to do all those kinds of things. But this stuff ultimately is going to bite you in the rear end. And when it does, the whole family is surprised. Then the invective flows. Well, why, Johnny, how come you let this happen to Mom? Janie, how come you let this happen to Mom? Think that stuff doesn't happen? Or the grandchildren start stealing from Mom because she gives the money, and then everybody's surprised. They just had that happen, by the way. 800-999-8007. You have the chance to make this better. You have the chance to make a difference in your family's life. You have the chance to be the one who knows and recognized and began to find solutions. Be that brave one who does that. You have to be brave. It's not easy. It's not easy. But you can do it. You can do it with some help, and I'm here to tell you that I can help. 800-999-8007. Check my webpage. Get on my email newsletter to check for upcoming workshops and seminars. Remember, I'll come and speak to your group or organization anytime for free. All you have to do is call me. 800-999-8007. Well, I've enjoyed being with you. Thanks for tolerating me for these 20 years on KFBK. I'll be back again next week. Listen to my podcast every Wednesday. And we'll see you here again next week on Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy your family. Give me a call and begin the process to make life better. See you next week. Bye-bye.